allied health professionals who work alongside doctors, nurses and dentists say they're being underutilised and could help deliver better health outcomes. But they say the system needs to change. There are 30,000 allied health professionals around the country, including audiologists, dietitians, physiotherapists, psychologists, social workers, chiropractors and acupuncturists. The organisation representing many of them, Allied Health Aotearoa, says public hospitals and GP practices are under tremendous pressure, which could be alleviated if allied health professionals were publicly funded and fully integrated into the health system. The spokesperson for Allied Health and Auckland dietitian, Kath Eastwood. Kia ora, good morning, Kath.
Kia ora.
So just explain how the system works at present and what you want to draw attention to.
Yeah, so we know at the moment that the health and disability system is under huge pressure. So hospitals are stretched, they have long waiting lists, there's a considerable demand on GP time, the prevalence of non-communicable diseases is growing, and we have an ageing population. So access to care in New Zealand is incredibly inequitable. It disadvantages many New Zealanders. And so this just leads to a significant unmet need. So people simply aren't getting the care they need when they need it. So yes, it needs to change.
So just explain what happens. You need to go to the GP to get sent to the physio. Is that the case? Can you go to the physio off your own bat and book an appointment? What's the difference between one branch of care and others?
So that's currently what happens. So if you want to access an allied health provider, you either make that appointment yourself or you access it through your GP. However, it isn't funded, and so you have to pay for that, and also it's not integrated. And so what we want to, or one of our solutions in our report was around creating a system that really enables true collaboration and integration of health professionals to ensure patients receive the care they need when they need it.
So what happens now? If you want ACC, say, for an injury, you go to the GP, you must go to the GP and then get forwarded to the physio. If you go to the physio for any kind of care or pick another allied specialist, your allied provider, you're paying for it yourself. You don't get the subsidy that the GP gets, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. The question then is, though, if we're not going to further blow out taxpayer funding of these services, you're arguing that things could be more efficient, could be run better. How so? If it's not just handing taxpayer subsidies to these allied providers, what is the system you're envisioning that would actually deliver a better return, health and otherwise?
So there's two things there. One is around the model and the other one is around the cost. So if we just touch on the solution, so if we think about a patient-centred medical home model, so that's a population needs-based interdisciplinary care model of care. So it focuses on the prevention and the management of long-term conditions. And so it's really important to remember that health is the second biggest spend by the government today. So 20 cents in every dollar goes to health, and spending on health isn't unlimited. And we can't keep spending the same or more money the same way and expecting different results. That just doesn't make any sense.
So are you saying prevention is being undermined because your services, the services of yours and others, are not being used when they should be? People instead go to a GP, or perhaps go to a GP to get pills rather than to get other things.
Absolutely. So we've all heard the saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, and that's exactly what we are proposing. So if you invest in preventing a lot of these long-term conditions and better managing them, you prevent people having to go to hospital, and that's what is the biggest piece of the health dollar. And if you think about some examples like diabetes, so currently in New Zealand, over 1,000 people have a diabetes-related amputation every year. So that's almost three every single day. That's a huge health cost and social cost to New Zealand. So wouldn't it be great if patients with diabetes were able to receive really well integrated care by a range of health professionals, like, for example, social work perhaps, podiatry, nutrition, exercise, in their local community, to assist them in managing their diabetes
better. What stops that now? What stops a GP from saying, we need to tackle your diabetes now, you're in for a very unpleasant future, and sending them to a dietitian? What stops it?
So at the moment, that mechanism is through secondary care. And so because of the huge demand on hospitals, the threshold to see for a diabetic patient to see a dietitian is really, really high.
So they can only send you to a hospital dietitian?
At this stage, if you want it publicly funded, that is the only option.
Okay, so you want the funding pool opened up so that the GP, say, could send someone to a private dietitian, and that would be the same for physio, I guess, if someone was managing, a disability or managing an injury long-term and currently can't get that funded. You're saying the health dollar spent with one of these allied professionals might save, a major surgery down the track. That's the argument, yeah?
Absolutely.
The question is, who makes the decisions so that we don't end up just blowing out the whole budget with a whole lot of other providers accessing taxpayer funding, ideally for prevention, but we don't know. Who would get to make decisions?
Well, I guess ultimately that decision lies with the government, doesn't it?
Yeah, but like for an individual, who would decide where you're best to go? Would the individual decide?
Well, I think in a patient-centred model, that would be a partnership between the patient and the provider. Ultimately, we want patients to have more choice, and so they need to be part of that solution.
If you're going to access taxpayer-funded services, though, someone somewhere needs to say this is appropriate. I guess that's what I'm saying. Do you still envisage the GP being part of this procedure and saying, okay, with what you're managing, perhaps over a period of time, we believe you would benefit from this kind of physio intervention, not ACC, but this kind of physio intervention, or we believe with where you're heading with your diabetes management, we want to be able to send you to this dietitian, and it doesn't have to be in the public hospital system? Do you still see the GP having a position or not?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So this isn't about, us versus them from an allied health versus GP. This is about ensuring some really good collaboration and integration so that patients receive the care that they need when they need it.
Does it have to be the GP? Because that's another thing you've already said, we're short of them. Most of them are within 10 years of retirement and they're overworked. Again, I'm trying to see how the system could alter so that it's not a free-for-all, so that appropriate decisions are still being made, even if access to taxpayer-funded treatments is broadened out.
Yeah, so one of the solutions we proposed in our report was the use of, say, a triage expert that would triage patients appropriately so that not everybody would have to go through their GP to receive care. So, for example, if you think about the diabetes example we talked about earlier, that patient might not have to see their GP at that particular time and would therefore be referred through different pathways to different practitioners.
By a nurse, say, or by others at the...
Oh, it could be a nurse, okay. Could be an allied health practitioner with appropriate training, yeah.
What have the GPs had to say? Have they had any say about it?
The GPs have been involved in the development of our report. I think it's really important... just to re-emphasise that point around ensuring that there's good collaboration and integration so that patients receive the care they need when they need it. And we know that, GPs do a fabulous job in quite challenging circumstances, and there's a huge demand on their time, and allied health professionals can really help carry that burden. And, everybody wants a really well-integrated system. And so, I don't think, we're all on the same page with regards
right.
to that.
Okay. Yeah. Did the NZIER report put any kind of a dollar figure, though, on what the impact of this might be?
No, but again, what I would say is that by treating people earlier in their own homes before they get so sick that they need to go to hospital is one way to save some money.
Of course, the whole health system is up for review right now. Is the minister aware of your work?
Yes, he is. Yes. So we've met with the minister. We've shared our report with him. And, yeah, so we look forward to some future announcements.
How many? 30,000 allied health professionals. Right. OK. On the psychologist, this is another point, because that's another place of chronic shortage in waiting times in the public system. Is there another compromise here? Again, if the taxpayer funding, it might be a portion of subsidy, right? Because one can see nothing but a budget blowout if this were not managed in a way that really sought optimum outcomes, and also, as you said, reflected the fact there's a limit to taxpayer funding. Mm. So again, you're envisaging a portion, perhaps a subsidy, in line with what others currently get.
Yes, okay. That's one option, yep.
Thanks, Kath. Kath Eastwood is with Allied Health Aotearoa, and she's also the Auckland dietitian, Kath Eastwood. I've just been talking to her.